My name is Deanne Lagerquist. I'm here this summer working with the teaching staff, and I'll be moderating tonight's session, which in uncharacteristic form does not have a question as its title. The title is Singles Issues. Now, I was sitting with a young man who just graduated from PLU at dinner tonight, and he asked me, what are singles issues? So I suppose we could put our topic into a question that easily. Before we begin, a few words about forums at Holden. I know some of you have been to more forums than you can remember, but maybe for some of you this is the first time. A forum at Holden has as its purpose that we would talk with each other in the hope of knowing and understanding more about the topic that we come together to discuss. We don't expect to go away knowing what every single issue is or the answers to those issues, whatever it is we decide that they are. What we do expect is that we'll listen to each other. Those of us who were in Tom Perry's session about conversational styles between supper and vespers, for us, I could say we're all on equal footing here. Everyone's views will be heard, but we'll start out with four people to sort of prime the pump. And they bring us their experience and their reflections about being single. Since I don't know everyone's last name, I'll give you their first names. Scott, who is here in the village this summer logging, who in the winter is the high school teacher. Barbara, who has been teaching this week about step families. Anne, who is long associated with Holden in many capacities and starting on Sunday will be here as part of the board. And Gertrude, who is also long associated with Holden and is here with the board. And I think we'll start with Gertrude.
I've been married. I was married for 36 years, and 10 years ago my husband died. And the reason Janet asked me to be on is because I am now a single person. And how do I feel about being single? Where can I go? And I said, the one place I knew I could go to was Holden Village as a single person. It's the one place where you're welcomed by everybody. I would not go to a resort by myself. And I think, I don't know what the choices are, but I think Holden is perfect for this sort of, for singles to come to. And if you've had losses, you always find people to relate to. So to me, it was very special from the very beginning. I came my husband died in the spring, and I was at Holden, back at Holden in that summer. And it was also a very healing place for me at the same time. I've had to make many adjustments. I still think of myself as a married person because I was married so long. I have a hard time to feel that I still feel like I was married because I was married that length of time. But I've talked with many people. When they ask me about coming to Holden and they're single, I say, I don't know a better place for you to go. You can go there, and it's almost better if you don't go with somebody, because if you go with somebody, you limit yourself. And you stay with those people that you know because it's more comfortable. If you come alone, you make yourself all kinds of people, and you make new friendships and new relationships, which I think is a tremendous advantage for people who are single. I had support groups at home, but because I had been to Holden, knew what Holden was, I didn't feel I really needed support groups to go to. So I never did, except that I'm a supportive person at my own church. We have a singles group in our church that includes all people. It's quite an active group, and I support that in funding and so forth. I'm invited to go too, but I don't feel I have to. All people from both men and women communities, and they do projects together, and they go to things together. They have fun times together. They talk about problems, as we're doing here tonight. Jobs, family, loneliness, all that sort of thing. So I'm very much in favor of those projects that are going home, although I have not joined them myself. Because my one resource is Holden people, and they've been a support to me through all this. Is there anything else you want to ask me about? I met a mother last fall, and she said, I have to tell you about my daughter who was at Holden. And she lives in Oregon someplace, and she said she went to Holden on her own, and she just had a tremendous experience. She met new people, new friends. She loved the sessions. And she said she hasn't gone to church for 20 years. And she said she's done a complete turnaround and gone home and is active now in her own parish. And then I met the father later, and he said, let me tell you about my daughter. She was at Holden. I knew what was coming, so I heard the story all over again. But that, to me, was a real good kind of thing that I heard about a single person who came up here on her own and found what she was looking for, and it changed her priorities and people to be with and so forth. I'm sure she'll be better. Anne?
I can segue easily from that, because I've been coming to Holden since I was, the first time when I was 16, and then regularly since I was 21, and I'm now 41, having my 20th Holden anniversary this year, and it doesn't seem possible, but I have found always here a safe place and a place that's easy to come into and just turn to somebody and say, hi, who are you? And start mixing it up and making, even in the course of a couple weeks being on staff, some good community can happen, and I wish that there were more places that would happen other than here, too. I have not been married. As I was thinking about what to say tonight, I thought, I'll start a little list of pet peeves, things that bug me. I'll be the curmudgeon of the panel. So I had a few things that I thought of. One is obvious, and Janet Grant introduced it to me. I detest the expression, never married. I detest it more as the years go on. Janet taught me to say, always single. And so now I always insist that people refer to me and other always single people as always single, not never married, which seems to imply they will never get married either. Another one is entering a restaurant, and I travel a lot in my work, and I have dinner alone frequently, and I really enjoy having dinner alone. But having people come up to you and say, just one, and look around like this is some aberrant thing, just one. Then another one I've just thought of, and this is one I'm going to really pursue. Has anyone ever bought those happenings books with all the coupons in? Now, you can't get anything in there that isn't for two.
They're getting better.
I'm going to buy one of those happenings books. I'm going to tear out those Red Lobster coupons and things for restaurants in Chicago and go in and say, I don't have two. I'm one. How about giving me a half-price dinner? I think it ought to be just as good. Another couple of things are advice from married people. And then the questions, the statement that I've most grown to be bugged by in recent years, this is something that must have come up out of pop culture or talk shows in recent years, which is this thesis that you must not want to be married. You must be somehow giving off this I don't want to be married aroma that drives people away. Otherwise, you would, if you want to be married, you would be, because you'd be attracting people who would want to be married to you. And then this is followed by a sequence of equally horrible questions like, well, where do you go? What do you do? And have you ever taken out an ad? Like, this is a really viable option. Those are my pet peeves. The things I really hope we can talk about tonight are some of the things that I've explored most painfully and struggled with most excitingly in the recent series, as I kind of acknowledge I'm in middle age. And those are the spiritual and theological components of being created one way and having your life situation turn out another way. Because I'm firmly convinced that God created me to be with other people. And I have to figure out ways to make that work in the setting that I find myself, which is not with another person, not in intimate, bonded, sharing, passionate setting. And it's this big struggle for me, and I keep praying about it and thinking about it, and I have not yet resolved it, is how I'm created one way and living out my life a completely different way.
Well, I told you we weren't going to have all the answers, but there are some great questions. Barbara.
Well, I guess I'm the only one on the forum with a spouse in the room. I have to watch what I say. I was thinking about my time when I was single for about 2 years as a single parent with a 1-year-old and a 4-year-old at the time. And I was thinking of an analogy, because I'm pretty extroverted and I'm pretty romantic kind of person, so I kind of thought of my time as being as a single parent as the time when I went on the raft trip at the Grand Canyon and was, God, I can't wait to get out of here. It was a hard time. What was hard? Let's see. At that time, I think over a period of 2 years, I'd had 5 jobs. And I'd had, about twice that many dates. And it seemed like the dates were, come see my etchings, or let me tell you about my ex-wife, or let me show you my neat new knife from the guy I had met at a bar. And it was kind of neat. Raising 2 small children alone was pretty difficult. I think of the time once when my son had an ear infection in the middle of the night and I had this little baby. You know, what do you do with her? Or, you know, it was just things like, how do you deal with medical emergencies when you need to be at work? And it's been a long time. Those are the things that just kind of came up for me. It was really how hard it was to be a single parent.
Scott.
I'm Scott, and I think I got the flip side here. I'll tell you, the joys of being single. I've actually been happily single for about 7 years. And before that, I was married to my job. And it wasn't a good marriage. I liked it. It was fulfilling, but it really didn't do very much. And what really broke the ice for me was Christmas time, when my sister-in-law always gave my brother some of the neatest gifts. And I think the tougher part of being single and growing up is I don't get as many gifts. My nieces and nephews give me things. But you don't get gifts anymore. But my brothers did and my sisters did, and they got neat things. And there was no one giving me those things. And I decided the only person that's going to do that is myself. And I give myself Christmas presents. I give myself birthday presents. And I started to take myself out to dinner. And it's been fun. You know, sure, they say just one. Yeah, me and my book. I bring a book. Jen and I were talking about it. There's a way to do it. You go in and make sure there's a view where you sit.
Good light.
Good light. Don't like the dark corner. I try to go to a restaurant with, like on the Sound and Coast when I'm over there. It's some place where I can sit at the window and watch. And I order appetizer because that's what I'd do if I was with someone else. I have a long dinner, and I make sure I stay and have coffee and dessert. Because I deserve it. And no one else is going to really notice that I'm, you know, kind of in a slump or anything, except for me. And so I've learned to look out for myself and take myself on dates and buy myself gifts. I never surprise myself at a party. But it definitely is always back there as an idea. Some other things I've done. I don't know, anyone remember the play Mamie? I don't know if it's just in my mind I remember Mamie. This past summer, my nephew and I went to southern Mexico for 2 weeks and just traveled on old rickety buses. He's 11. It was like, I'm not going to have kids. And yet I do have my nieces and nephews who I've grown up with, and I've decided that I'm not just going to be an uncle. I'm going to be Mamie. They're going to go traveling with me and do things. And so that's actually been going on for a number of years. This one is my godson also, and so he has always spent a week at Christmas with me since he was like 5. That's 6 years. And that actually has been an important part of my singlehood, is my nieces and nephews and how I've passed on some of the family history that has been mine, and I'm fortunate to have great uncles and aunts who are also never married. And I guess it's something in our family. I can't think it's better. But I was able to spend time with them. No uncles and aunts, but great uncles and aunts. And they had stories. And I wanted to share these stories. And my brothers and sisters didn't seem interested in them. But nieces and nephews really enjoyed hearing the stories. And so we'll go on road trips together. Three of them have come up to visit me. I've been here since August, and already three have come up and spent time here at Holden. And it's that's part of my being single and sane, is making sure that I'm passing on part of my family and part of who it is to belong to our clan. So those are some of the positive parts I've discovered as I've worked on my relationship with myself.
Okay, this is the part where the rest of you get to talk. You can respond, you can ask questions, you can chime in with your own experiences, curmudgeonly or joyful, or questions that you'd like other people to pursue. So, open it up to you. Oh, the one thing I forgot to say is that we go an hour. And when we get about 5 minutes to that, I'll tell you. Yeah.
I'll start, I guess. I really appreciate what Scott said, because as you were talking, Scott, I don't know, well, maybe pretty consciously, I thought about how I'd taken care of myself. I was the mother of two children, both of whom deceased. And Christmas time, the first Christmas after my second son died, it was that same thing. No Christmas presents, you know. And I don't have a very close relationship with any of my, you know, family of origin. And I ended up going out and buying myself Christmas presents, one from each of my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, they aren't here to give to me. And boy, I do that every year now, and it's great. And I guess I hadn't thought about doing the birthday thing, but next year. So I guess what I've appreciated about being single and being a non-parent now is I've really worked on my autonomy, and I've really worked on my spirituality and my relationship with my Creator. And I've grown in ways that I could never have grown had my situation been different. And I'm really, really thankful for that.
With the possible exception of Gertrude, I don't hear anybody saying that they've chosen to be single. And I think it's a really viable choice. So I'm wondering, maybe I didn't hear that from you, and maybe you really have. But I wonder if anybody in the room could say, I've chosen to be single, and unpack that a little. When I hear Gertrude saying that she's not prepared to change her status now, although some wise man will come along and sweep her off her feet, I don't know if he knows what's going on.
I don't think you should. Never say never. It doesn't. That's when you're going to get fooled. And I think you should be just open and face that. But you should get. I've been single just 6 years. My husband passed away. And I think life has been wonderful. I'm like Scott, I just can't get enough of it. It's just fantastic, just alone. I don't need a man, but if the right one comes along, that's great. I hate to say never, because every time I said to them, my kids would never do that, that's what they did.
Why would someone choose to be married?
That's part of my problem too. I don't think I choose to be married.
Is everybody got the statistic that they ask who the happiest people are? Married men, married women, single men, or single women? The happiest people are married men. The unhappiest are single men. The second happiest are single women. So that's a very good question, especially for women.
My guess would you go from being second happiest to third happiest?
That's a good
point. Maybe one of the questions that's behind that, that we're hearing different people respond to, is what makes you happy? And how much that's tied up with our status as married or not married. How people respond to that, how we respond to that, as well as what goes on inside of it.
A deeper question that take that one step further that I've read about and thought about for a long time and haven't come to the real answer is, am I called to be single? Mm-hmm. And struggled with that. Maybe that is a call in my life. When I hear Scott and I, when I talk with Scott about some of the joys that I feel about being single, yeah, maybe that is part of what the call is. It's kind of hard to claim it as a call for me.
It seems like so often people say, I'm not married yet. I mean, that yet is what I'd like to not always hear, you know. But we're all in process, but it doesn't have to be a yet.
Well, I think about that idea about choosing to be single. It seems to me that the choice to be single is if you have some opportunity to marry and you turn that down because you know that isn't the right choice, therefore you're choosing to be single. But that doesn't mean that's the end of choices. It doesn't mean that you're dying for another choice to come along. But nor does it mean that it's the end of choices. I mean, I think that one of the things that I've done, and I'm pleased with the singleness of my life, is that I've had opportunity to travel more than a lot of my friends who are married. And I would say that and I did that, I suppose, at a time in which it was more economically feasible than it is right now to be a single woman trying to travel. So the economy of our country has a great deal to do with how free one can be and how many choices one can pursue as a single woman. Maybe that's also true of single men, too. It seems to me that's difficult, more difficult for women. So I want to get the economy back, folks. Go.
Well, we also heard from Barbara the experience of being a single parent, that the economic structures really, among other things, make that a much different experience. Yeah. It's not being alone, although there's a kind of aloneness in being mm-hmm. a single parent, but it's not the same experience as being single all by yourself.
Yeah.
Well, you were asking, why would a person choose to be married? Were you being facetious?
No.
You're serious? I think it's wonderful.
Outside from, if you don't choose to have a family, yeah, you should throw that.
My relationship with my husband is a really wonderful relationship, and he's a great companion. And I'm not one of those wives that, you know, I go away and, you know, cook all the meals in the freezer for 3 weeks, that kind of thing. And we are an equal partnership, and that's why it can be a satisfying lifestyle for me, because we take on the tasks of living equally.
I'll speak to that. I think, I feel like my role here tonight is to be the whiner in the room, and I don't mean that. I am not happy with my state, and all my good friends around here know that. I feel distinctly robbed of something that I socially was assumed in our culture was the way my life would go, and also as I've dealt with it more spiritually and metaphysically and cosmically as the years have gone on, I feel like there's some part of me that has a direction to go that isn't in my work, isn't at church, isn't even among my friends. There is some and-ness that is meant to be expressed with another person of another, you know, who is not one of those categories. And I've adopted exactly the same attitude as you have with my nieces and nephews, partly because of the loss of the kind of perpetuity thing. And Janet helped teach me that too. My nieces and nephews are with me here at Holden for the first time, and it's the joy of my week. And I have a good job and I travel. Oh, my life is swell. But there's this deep down wall that I'm running against all the time. And maybe it doesn't trouble other people. I think that's part of what the diversity of creation that some, for some folks, choosing to be single or being single and being happy with it is maybe the way they're created. Somehow I don't feel that's the way I'm created. And this is where my inner struggle is and my argument with God is because I am not content. Despite having a terrific life in so many ways, I feel there's and much of it has to do with intimacy issues and sexual issues and aging issues. How long am I going to be all by myself? And it's the yet issue. Well, I long ago took the yet off that. Yet in my heart of hearts, I think, will it always be this way, just me?
I suppose we could have a personal section in the Holden magazine.
I really think I missed you on the vote. I think that has a lot of merit.
Okay, we'll put that in.
I'd like to challenge that in a way that it strikes me, sorry to the married people, but my friends who are married, I sometimes feel sorry for them because they did not get that intimacy, that thing that you asked, you seem to be struggling for. I don't see my friends necessarily having it either, who are married. I think that comes, and I think that's one place I'm finding myself happily single, is I'm finding myself a good partner.
You're not disappointed.
What's that? Yeah. I'm also dating right now. That's different. But it's, I guess I don't look out there for that other person that if I was married, I would be that happy person. Because I'm not seeing that in other relationships. I don't think intimacy and happiness necessarily comes with marriage. It comes with finding the right person. Or, and that could be yourself. Here's a thought.
Another thing I found since I've become single again is I guess when you're married, you're more focused on your spouse and your family. And since I went from my father's house to my husband's house, and since I've been alone, hundreds of people have taken my husband's place. And these people, I never would have met these spiritual, many spiritual and many Christian people that I never met or never would have met had I been, had stayed married. And it's just, that has just added so much to my life. I think you miss out on a lot being married too. But there's pluses on both sides.
Well, I guess I view my singleness as a gift from God, and I most of the time I enjoy that gift. I mean, as far as when she talked about being able to travel, I mean, it is the freedom. I guess that's one of the things that I really enjoy, the freedom of being single, as far as just being able to do whatever I want and not having to talk it over with a partner. However, you know, there's this part of me that would like to have a soulmate, I mean, somebody who I could share my life with too. But yeah, there are many parts of my singleness I enjoy. that I believe it's really given me an opportunity to do a lot of things that maybe I wouldn't have done otherwise, like volunteering in certain areas in church, for example, things like that. And it's given me an opportunity to do a lot of those things that maybe I might not have had the time to do with the family or a spouse.
Yeah, I think for me, always having been single, I don't see it. I think years back, I always thought I'd be happier being married. And now, the last several years, just view it almost as a different lifestyle that I've enjoyed trying, but not any happier or sadder, you know, on that ranking of second, third, fourth. It's another lifestyle. And having had, like a lot of us, lots of opportunities to travel and do other things, it's just like, yeah, that's been great, now what?
Really, can I just respond to that? I mean, that makes sound being married or not married. It's like the difference between living in a condo or an apartment. I mean, isn't it more than a lifestyle? I mean, it's a mystery to me. I've never been married, but uh-huh. I thought there was more to it than that.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe picking up on what you said, that there's all sorts of special people in our lives.
Someone back here wanted to get in.
I was going to ask you if you'd ever been married. Be careful what you pray for.
Who, me?
It really depends on the marriage. I was married, and I was so happy to be unmarried. And I didn't realize at the time because it wasn't my idea. But life has been much better since. And I would never choose going back to that marriage, maybe going to a different marriage, but never one like that. You'd never want to. I mean, why would you give up consent to go to that?
Well, obviously not. No.
And mine, compared to, you know, some traumatic ones, was nothing. It was just kind of boring. So, yeah, I agree with you. Watch out what you pray for, because it's better to live alone than in that.
Take on a roommate. A messy one for a while.
I married very late. I did a lot of the traveling before I got married. I sort of felt when I got married, I'd gotten a lot of that out of my system. You know, I'd been independent for a long time and done a lot of things that I wanted to do, which I knew would. My marriage might have limited me now, although I felt very liberated even in my marriage. My husband was, he'd say, take off, go, you know, I talked about coming out here alone. He said, take off, do it. I think in the sense that I did some of those things before made me much more satisfied in our relationship. And I feel I had such a good marriage. I don't want another one. I don't want to trade and risk, you know. I would have a marriage that wasn't as great as what I had. And then the support of people like Holden. I mean, when he died, I mean, this is the community that supported me. People around me did too. But it was unbelievable what Holden did. I mean, I think to create that kind of situation, even if you're single, know that these people are here, you know, loyal, ready to stand behind you, help you in all kinds of areas. So just a safe place if you're single. Come and handle those issues. Get some new ideas, fresh ideas.
I appreciate what you said, because I feel like I've done a lot of the things that a single person can do, and I feel like I feel like I'm missing something, like, you know, I can't be reflected by, I need to be reflected by somebody else to really grow, and that I've done as much, I feel like I've done a lot on my own, and that I know I could grow a lot in a relationship. There's a little part of me that's really scared of it, you know, scared of letting.
It reminds me of this other woman said, we'll finish, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, there's another part of me that's scared of letting go of my dependence. But anyway, I think, I appreciate what you said, that it's nice to be able to be single for a while and really do it well.
Well, none of you have even brought up the issue of having children. Mm-hmm. And that is the other highlight of my life, are my two children.
Well, some of us didn't get any children.
Well, I'm trying to balance off, because I'm hearing a lot of people say that, well, I really wouldn't want a relationship. But another part of being married is also, besides the relationship, whether good or bad, is also, if you choose to have children, that's a whole other area.
Well, Well, I've been a widow for 2 years, so I'm not single by choice, but I'm here to tell you that there's a lot of good marriages out there. My husband and I traveled together, we had fun together, we laughed together. And it is good.
Can I respond to the woman back? Someone, I wrote it down, but I don't remember who it was, said that their autonomy had resulted in so much growth. And I found that was really interesting. I'm glad that that's what's been the result for you, since your situation has been so extreme. I feel like I have had nothing but autonomy, and I've given it about, you know, I've gone about to the limits of what I can do. Now, obviously, I can continue to grow and live if that is my calling through my life, and I will grow in different ways. But I feel like the way I really want to grow is interpersonally. I'm a full happy person. I read, you know, I know things, I think thoughts, you know.
Hey, she bought a house.
But the way I'm interested in growing is interpersonally. That's what really interests me the most. I mean, as much as anything, I come from a family. And one of the biggest challenges that I've tried to work through is this, who is my family? And it took a while to figure out that my family is and remains my sisters and brothers. They are my primary community and their children. That shouldn't have been so hard to figure out, but it did take a while because I had this other concept. That's like a primary thing that goes through my thinking and through my thinking about God and where I fit in the universe, because I'm a person of family, and so I still want to go that direction and look at who would like to join my family. So
I've had the unique opportunity in the last 10 years to be part of a community in which I get some of that intimacy, and I know that that's a real gift that I got given and some other people get to get too, and we all have to find those things in our own way. But you know, some of the things that go along with this are changing the oil in the car and all those kinds of things that many people tend to share. And you know, in my community I was able to create relationships with people that I trusted enough that we shared cars, you know, that in that I could call on all these people to help me move into my new house, and they would come and help me with things. It was to build this trust, and it was a Christian community where we shared worship together and we shared outreach together, and so that's been real important to me. It's not that, you know, I wouldn't seek what you're talking about too, Anne, but I think in some ways I've been able to create a world around me that helps me get some of that intimacy that in other ways.
Many times I could use a man around the house. I can't climb up on ladders anymore. I have to call neighbors or somebody to help me. It's crazy, and you find out when you're alone, it's a man's world. There's so much legal property. I found I owned a house with my husband, we owned a car. I had to go down and prove all that. And you think, well, he wouldn't have had to do that. I had to do that. And you find those things out when it happens to you, that, boy, are they in control of your life. I have proved those things. And you single people, you have that problem all the time. Well, I certainly learned I had, you know, was not in control of my own things. Although we shared it, you know, but I realized how much you need help. And boy, I want people to come and clean my gutters and paint, you know, just like any single people.
That's the worst by yourself.
Right. Right.
Here's the point. But marriage doesn't solve those things, you know.
No, it doesn't solve it, but no. You've got help. I have grown children too.
Mayor, they were not
home. That's a good case scenario that you have help, though. You might not. I'm curious if other people have the same feeling. What's hard for me often is finding somebody with whom to be accountable to. I mean, building enough of an intimacy or trust that other people can say, Karen, you know, you're out of line. And I find as a single person, sometimes people are
you know, it takes a while to develop that kind of a relationship where you can know each other well enough that you know you're going to forgive one another, you know you're going to be there in the good and the bad times. So that idea of commitment, I'm wondering, you know, that's something I'm curious about.
Well, I guess my question is, how many people have experienced that kind of thing in their marriages, in this room?
Would you experience what kind of thing?
What she's talking about. Parents.
That you're out of line?
They come to me.
Yeah.
It does. I think this raises an interesting question about what is it that makes people aware of singleness, of being one? Of being one person, of being a single person. When is it that you, what makes you notice that?
Things like this. I don't do things like this.
When there's discrimination against single people in business that makes you notice this, there used to be, I don't know if there is, but I'm sure there must be.
What do you mean by that?
It's from the church.
All I mean is that if you're a single dinner party, I've been single a long time, and I'm a real estate investor, and I was a banker friend for a long time, and he and I had a wonderful business relationship, and he had a lot of trust in me, and I had a lot of trust in him, and it worked out just great, but excuse me, he said that he told me, he said, a lot of single people, they're just very unpredictable. But he told me, he said, they're toughies, you know, when they sit down in front of him and want to do business with him. So, but I think that's one of the questions was about business.
Yeah, because I'm in business. I don't own my own company, but I've been in a small company for a number of years. And I don't know. I mean, maybe like the two owners of the company, they're both married, and a fair number of my coworkers are. I guess I don't feel like I'm personally discriminated against or whatever because of my singleness within the business.
Oh, I see.
I think it's more being female that you're discriminated against than that you're single.
Yeah.
You know, I've taken my car in to have it fixed, and I know because I was a female and single because I did not have a man to bring the car in and talk to the dealers. Mm-hmm. I got lousy service. Mm-hmm. You know,
I bring my car in all the time by myself. And I feel like I'm treated well and get good service.
Must have a good place to go. Because I've gone in my town, I've gone to several places. And I felt I was basically getting the shaft because I was a woman.
So part of what I hear people saying is that because of the way we link certain aspects of life to gender, that if you're single, those things that are linked to the other gender are somehow missing, like you have dirty gutters or your car doesn't get fixed, or I suppose that the compliment to that would be you only have beer and moldy cheese in your refrigerator. I don't know what it is, but those other ones are stereotypes too. So
I think there is something I know once in a while I feel like, when am I going to get some help around here? And it's kind of like, it is kind of like you said, Gertrude, I know not every partner is a great helper, but I want one who is. I feel like I'm tired of doing the taxes and doing, and not that I can't do those things, it's just that it's all on me. There's nobody to help me. There's nobody to help me with anything. And I know that sounds really whiny, but, you know, just like a little help.
Would it make you feel any better if it's double the work with two people?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's
trouble with kids.
Yeah.
Those are logistical things I'm hearing people say. Gee.
But sometimes that's what starts it.
I'm single because nobody else but me buys the milk.
Well, moving furniture
doesn't seem
hard.
It's hard to move the furniture.
By yourself.
These sound like lifestyle issues.
Well, I guess I've noticed I'm single when both of my sisters are married, and when we get together as a family, and that's pretty evident there. I have no brothers, and so I'm the only one who's not married, being the oldest. And that's, yeah, I definitely noticed it then. And at times, I'll hear it from my parents in kind of subtle ways, you know. Well, I mean, you know, they would wish that I would be married, and I think it. I think my mother has said that she's prayed for I think that's neat though. I mean that she has. I mean because that is something that I've desired too. It's not something that she's prayed for something that I've desired, not for something that I could care less about.
I'm glad you mentioned prayer because I seriously want to respond to that question. I find I'm aware of my singleness. When I'm in prayer, and that's not because I'm saying my prayers and saying, "Oh, I'm so single, I don't want to get married." It's not that. It's that I bring myself to God in prayer, and I'm conscious of who I am. I have a lot of autonomy, and I understand who I am, and I continually seek to know who I am as a child of God and to serve, and that is there. I kind of see. In the mirror, there I am, and it's just me. And it's not that's not a bad thing. That's where I find, okay, who's in this with me? Clearly God, and that is one time that I'm very conscious of it.
You know, I'd like to make an analogy to your comment about bringing in the car and saying because you're single, female. Well, you know what we do is we blame. A lot of our problems because we're in a step family. And, well, the kids would be much better behaved if we weren't in a step family. And, you know, our marriage would be even better if we weren't in a step family. And then every once in a while, someone will remind us, hey, you know, first time families have the same problems you guys have, so stop it. We don't want to hear you. But so sometimes we need other people to remind us. That our situation really, you know, isn't that much different than first-time families. And so I think, do you see my point? That we as a step-families, I know we set ourselves apart and think we're feeling so sorry for ourselves. Not saying you are, but we do that. And we get ourselves in trouble. Mm-hmm.
When I go into this place and they give me lousy of service, they hear about it. Good. But still, it's the idea that it's because I'm a woman, right? I could have had my friend or my stepdad bring it in. And knowing that they would get it done.
Do you know that? I mean, you know that the men get service, they make a bad service too.
Yeah. No, my stepdad deals with those people and I get good service.
I know what you're saying. Do you think being married would change your experience with the garage?
Oh, no.
Let's go to the back here. I think Tom has been trying to get in for a little bit.
I wanted to say one thing about I'm extremely goal-oriented, and I know there are a lot of you that are goal-oriented. And when you reach a level, which quite a few of you have talked about, then you're ready. You know, you're ready for that point. To be married or to have a serious relationship. And I know myself as I have a tree farm and I'm, you know, kind of at that point. You know, I get up when I want to get up. I go to bed when I want to go to bed. And I'm very extremely independent. I have a lot of time. You know, personal time on my hands, and you have time that you want to share with somebody else. Okay, so I did join the YMCA again here a couple months ago.
And where do you go?
I'm down there lap swimming every day, you know, and that fills in part of it. And then most of my friends are retired because everybody my age is working.
Everybody else got to toe the line out there, you know. On Monday morning, everybody's heading to their job site. Where are that is. You know, I'm looking out the window to see if my trees are growing today. And I step out on the porch and talk to the dog, you know. See if my black lab has brought a chicken home or not from the neighbors. But it gets a little frustrating sometimes when geologically, if you're in an area which I'm about 50 miles from a big city, and I'm at the point where at the age where I don't feel like driving 50 miles to an area that has an evening outing and then driving home, because I don't think I'd make it home. Pulling off on the side of the road and falling asleep, because then they pick you up and throw you in jail for even being asleep alongside the road. So basically, you have to do the things in your immediate area. So I see some of you, I would just say now, that if you're happy with your singleness, you have a lot of things going on in the area that you're living in. You know, a lot of cross things that are going on. And if you're in a population of an area of 35 or 40,000 people, you don't have that much that you would have, say, in Tacoma, Seattle, the Twin Cities in Minnesota or something like that. But that's all I have to say is that you can be happy in one area in the United States. And maybe I've seen ads in the paper, men and women both, in Alaska, advertising for a spouse, or in Idaho, for that matter. Yeah. That's all I wanted to say. I haven't advertised for a woman in Idaho, and I haven't used any of the personals. But the Holden magazine sounds like
it. We haven't heard that twice.
I know I'm single because everything in the refrigerator turns green except the vegetables. They're all brown. But I wanted to respond to what you said about praying. And maybe I'm misunderstanding, but my relationship with God is a singleness. I mean, being married will not make any difference in that relationship. My husband, unless you're, you know, maybe you're really, really lucky, you might find somebody that you got a threesome there, but I don't think, each one of us approach God in a different way. And my husband was this very silent person who, I think he had his own thing going, but I couldn't become involved in it. It was just, it's all separateness between your higher power and yourself. Unless I'm misunderstanding what you're saying.
I don't think I can say it again.
To me, you have to have separateness in marriage. Otherwise, it's smothering. It's possessiveness just gets you. And I know that even with people who are single and they're with each other and they say, one woman approached me and I said, I need time alone. She said, what are you going to do when you get married? And I said, I'm not married 24 hours a day. You give yourself space, and I think that's necessary for you, whether you're single or married. You need that kind of an arrangement between the two of you.
With any relationship.
Right.
You come together, and then you separate.
We'll soon be separating, so if you've been waiting for near the end to make the final word, or to,
now is the Gabriel's hand up a while ago.
Final word. I have a word up here. Those of us that are sitting along here have been watching a single mouse. Just frantic at the wall. And I think that's a frantic mouse, and it's single.
Well.
No,
Ellen?
I don't see her.
We're in the back. Well, whether I see her or not, if she wants to talk, here's her chance.
No.
No?
I'm travel weary from coming. Well, I guess I will say something. The idea, somebody said that you are always single before God. It is not a joint effort. And Jim's and my spiritual out here are quite different. And we share some things, but it is it is the separateness. And what Gertrude said about space, to me that's been one of the most important gifts in our marriage, is that Jim gives me space and I give him space, and we retain our own autonomy, and yet we're together in other things. So whether it's a community or friends that provide that balance, or whether it's a spouse, I think the dynamics are somewhat the same. Not every marriage is good. It's better to be single often than to be married. I've had friends who have been not in marriages, and I think everybody's... I'm just amazed, and this is Holden, Andrew, to say that people are able to open up and be trusting. This is the thing that Holden has always meant to me. You can say, Anne can say what she feels, and this woman with her loss of two children can say it, and can share it. There aren't many places that you can do that. Mm-hmm.
I guess the thing that comes to my mind is in response to what Janet said, and I guess every single one of us sitting in this room is called by God to dare where we are, whether single, married, widowed, whatever. And I think for that we need to be thankful, for tomorrow He may change it.
I can't think of a better last comment than that. So although we have 2 minutes left, I'm going to send you out to talk to each other more about these things, to think about them, and invite you to continue the conversation all around the village and on the boat, and maybe in a personal column.
Thanks.